You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We do have Steve Verderosa joining us. Steve, welcome in. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry I'm late.
No, that's fine. Listen, it's fine. It's all good. It's a Sunday morning. We're blessed to have you. You don't have to apologize for anything. It's all good, my friend. Again, Steve Verderosa joining us, former scout for the Giants, was with him for over 30 years, 33 to be exact. So, Steve, what I want to do with you this morning is I want to go through the first 11 picks, okay? We've got a competition here taking place on 98.7 ESPN where folks can win an autographed jersey from their team. And so I'm trying to help some of our listeners. Like I said, I mean, no need to spend a lot of time on Jacksonville, right? Trevor Lawrence. No need to spend a lot of time on the Jets. Zach Wilson. Before we do, though, move on to what's going on, because a lot of people feel the draft starts with the 49ers. If you can, obviously, you know, you're on the airwaves here in New York. You've got a lot of Jets fans that are listening to the show right now. Give us your thoughts in regard to Zach Wilson's. What are your pros? What are your cons? And do you feel that this is the right choice for the Jets?
Well, you and I already talked about this, and we talked about it on our show. To me, I would have stuck with Sam Darnold, but it's hard to second guess them. I'm not in the building, and I know people that are in the building, and they're very accomplished people that do a really good job. Unfortunately, you know, it didn't work out with the former coaching staff, and maybe that wasn't a good marriage. As far as Zach Wilson goes, he's tremendously athletic. I know social media blew up when he had his pro day, but I've said this before, that shorts and t-shirts, it's a scripted workout, so they know every throw, the order of every throw, and he doesn't have any pass rushers chasing after him to try to kill him. So watching him on tape, there were a lot of off schedule plays that you do like, but he missed a lot of throws from the pocket. He has a long injury history, and this past season was really the only year that the team had a lot of team success, and they played a lesser schedule. It wasn't like being in the SEC playing against SEC teams week in and week out. So I can't blame the kid. He didn't pick the schedule. The schedule was there, and he did a great job with the schedule that they had. I did not see on tape an elite arm. I think he's got a good arm. I think he's an excellent athlete. He seems to move his team. And like I said, the off-schedule plays you really like. But if you talk to any coach, they don't want the off-schedule plays because there's nothing they can anticipate about that. The play is drawn up in the playbook. It's on the blackboard. That's the way they want it run. And if everybody executes the play correctly, and it doesn't have to be an off-schedule play. Now, he's going to go to a team that still has a lot of holes, and unless they fill those holes ASAP, I guess they're banking on the off-schedule plays that he's capable of making. But like I said, you can't anticipate that happening. You can't anticipate a certain blitz that he's never seen before and how he's going to react to that. So to me, I know when I was sitting in the draft room, although I did not go to USC and evaluate Sam Darnold, I did watch a lot of tape on him in the office only because there was a possibility that he could have been our pick at number two. I think Sam's a heck of a prospect. I'm repeating myself why it didn't work out at the Jets. Only those people in that building or the people that are not there anymore can answer that question. And hopefully Sam has a bounce back year with Carolina. But that's how I see Zach Wilson.
Again, Steve Verderosa joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Okay, so Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2. The draft starts at 3. I've been saying Mac Jones all along. I'm still sticking to it. This is what my sources are telling me. But you're going with somebody else. Who do you have for the 49ers at 3?
When we did our evaluations of all the quarterbacks, or the top quarterbacks, I had him rated as the second best quarterback because he's ready to play now. And the two things that are paramount for a quarterback, they have to have it. Over the years, talking to Phil Sims and talking to the other guys that were at the Giants and talking to Eli, the ability to process information and your accuracy when you throw the football. And Mac Jones did an unbelievable job this year, completed 77.4% of his passes. I don't care if that's in your backyard with your buddies. That's an unbelievable stat. But that being said, I don't think that organization, my opinion alone, traded all that draft capital to move up to take a pocket passer. Now, unless he's going to be their starter to win now, because they have a pretty darn good football team when they're not hurt, I'd be shocked. To me, I think they're going to take Justin Fields. He's a off-the-chart athlete. He's got a real strong arm. My trepidation with him was watching the tape, the games he played this year, including the Clemson game where, you know, he threw six touchdown passes and still threw an interception. But watching the 2019 tape as well, I don't think this young man is ready. And I don't go to Ohio State. I never talked to anybody there. But just watching the tape, which is only one part of the evaluation, I just think his ceiling, his upside, his physical prowess is too much to pass up on. And I know there's another young man from North Dakota State, Trey Lance, that people have been talking about since during the season. Lower level of comp, very, very small sampling size with the amount of games that he played. And to me, he's light years away from being ready. So I just think he's going to, the 49ers are going to take Justin Fields. That's my opinion, and I'm probably going to get blown up on it. But I just, he's known that young man. The head coach has known that young man for quite a while, been at his camp, so on and so forth. I just think that's the way they're going to go.
So that's one of the, in regard to 1 through 11, that's one of the areas where you and I differ, right? Like, you're going Justin Fields, I'm going Mac Jones. And again, I'm going Mac Jones. Maybe I've got a little bit more heart in the game because I love Mac Jones. And also it's what I'm hearing. It's also what I'm hearing from a number of scouts. So after
Anita,
three,
you watch the tape. Yeah. You watch the tape. It's hard not to like him.
I know. It is. It really is hard.
Yes, people talk about, well, look at the supporting cast he has. Okay, so let's say he goes to the NFL with a really good supporting cast. You know, the guy distributes the football. He makes the right decisions. He ran their offense. Now, the year before, 2019, when Tua was there, he had all four of those receivers, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Waddle for a whole season, and Devontae Smith. Well, after a couple of games, Waddle got hurt. You could arguably say he had less than Tua did to operate that offense, and he ran it better. And he took Steve Sarkisian's offense, which is difficult and innovative and
complex,
NFL-like. He took it to another level. So I'm high on the kid. I just, again, the pocket passer, you better put a wall around him and have that wall around him for years. But look, the 43-year-old pocket passer just won the Super Bowl. So you can talk all about these newfangled quarterbacks and guys that can run around and do amazing things with their feet and their arm. It's still about processing the information and throwing the ball where it's supposed to be in the right place at the right time.
I hear you. And just to, just, you know, Steve just said that he felt that the Jets should have kept Sam Darnold. I'm in the same boat. Since they haven't, I'll go so far to say that I think the Jets are drafting the wrong quarterback here. If I'm the GM of the Jets, I'm drafting Mac Jones. That's what I'm doing. But nonetheless, moving forward through, we're gonna get our way through 11. I only have so much time here. You and I are on the same page. We've got Kyle Pitts going to Atlanta. I don't know. Kyle Pitts is the best player in this draft. I don't know how Atlanta passes up on him. We've got Penny Sewell going to Cincinnati to protect Joe Burrow. We've got Ja'Marr Chase going to the Dolphins to help Tua. We've got Smith, wide receiver Smith from Alabama, going to the Detroit Lions. And then at Carolina is where you and I differ. You've got them selecting Slater. I'm hearing, even though they traded for Sam Darnold, I'm hearing that they're still interested in a quarterback, and that quarterback is Trey Lance. Here are a few things I think is going to happen with Carolina. If Trey Lance is there, there's a chance they take him, or if they're blown away with another offer from like a team like the Patriots, I think they trade him. Regardless, I think Trey Lance goes at 8. If you can, Steve, really quick, what do you see in Slater that you have him going to Carolina at 8?
Well, I'm not high on him as I've been reading and everything that I've seen on television. I think he is an excellent athlete for the offensive line position, but he's not tall. He's not long for left tackle, so he'd be the smallest left tackle in the NFL. So maybe he breaks the mold. And even watching the tape, his ability to anchor against the power pass rush at the Big Ten level was suspect at best. There were a lot of times he got driven back into the quarterback's pocket. And if it's going to happen there, you don't think it's going to happen in the NFL against men. So to me, an excellent athlete. I question his length for tackle. I question his strength and bulk for guard. He certainly has the movement to pull and trap and lead and get downfield and all the things that people like. Certainly a zone scheme fits his skill set big time. But I just thought they would take – my guess is they're going to take some help for the quarterback. Now, as far as them taking another quarterback, remember, Sam is in the last year of his contract. So it's a one-year deal with Carolina. If he doesn't perform, they can move on from him. No fuss, no muss. They got draft capital for him that they gave away. It wasn't insurmountable. So to me, it was the right thing to do. And if Sam lights it up this year, hey, they're in a good shape. And if they took the quarterback with the 8th pick, they could trade that pick next year. Somebody will definitely take a shot at the guy like that. So that's why I'm going with the offensive lineman.
The biggest question mark for me in the top 11 is Denver. I'm not sure what they do. You have them taking Parsons. I have them taking Slater there. We both have the Dallas Cowboys taking Patrick Surtain. I believe that he does fall to them at 10. I think he's the best defensive player in the draft. He falls to Dallas at 10. They have to be absolutely thrilled about that. And we both have the Giants taking J.C. Horn. I'm hearing that if J.C. Horn, even though the Giants have a lot of talent at the secondary, you know this, Steve. You work for the organization for over 30 years. You take the best player on the board. I've got the Giants taking J.C. Horn. We've got a few minutes left in this segment. Why don't you tell the listeners why you have the Giants taking J.C. Horn?
Well, he was one of the highest graded players that I did this year. And I haven't talked to anybody. I haven't talked to anybody at the Giants either about it. It was just my own evaluation. Guys that are 6'2", that are 200 pounds, 205 pounds, that can move like him, that can jump, that can change direction, that can stick his foot in the ground and close, has the burst, shows ball skills. He has all the physical traits to be an outstanding press corner in the National Football League. The thing I really like about him is the way he competes. He's got a little nasty streak in him, and I don't mean anything outside the lines. I just mean his physicality at the line of scrimmage. If he can impose his will on a receiver, he's going to do that. So in the scheme that the Giants ran last year, he's a perfect fit. And they hit the mother load last year with James Bradbury on the one side, who probably had the best year of any corner in the National Football League. Now you pair him with this kid, you signed a Dory Jackson and the other young players that are on the roster. You need three starters at least. Now it's really the strong teams have four guys that they consider starters. So you need your nickel back and your dime because people are coming out in base offense, 3-4 wide receivers. Yep. So you better be able to cover across the board. And if they got this kid, they're – whatever you want to say about the people up front, their pass rush just got that much better. So you combine the scheme with the personnel, they could be really tough this year if they take this young man.
Steve, you rock as always, my friend. Steve Verderosa, again, we had a mock draft on my social media platform. Log on to @AnitaMarks, and you could check it out. We went through all 32 picks and really broke them down. It's really an excellent show. If you've got time to watch it before the draft on Thursday, we highly recommend you do that. Steve, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Fun day, my friend. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're very welcome. I'll talk to you this week.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.